podcast. Knew we didn't like it, but we tried to find it.
This is We Didn't Start the Podcast, an album-by-album rewatch of Billy Joel's story song-creating career.
I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do. Welcome to episode 6, where we dissect Billy's fifth album, The Stranger.
The Stranger, it's the big one. It's the one that a lot of people regard as the best Billy Joel album. It is the best-selling Billy Joel album that is not
a compilation.
A compilation, right? Okay, and you know what? 9 songs on it, and I think 7 of them are hits.
Mm-hmm.
Even I have to give props to The Stranger.
Yay!
Shall we listen to what Fat Sad Billy Joel has to say about The Stranger?
When I was trying to record The Stranger, it was 1977. I had written a bunch of material. I had a good solid band at the time. I actually met with the producer of the Beatles, George Martin, and had asked him if he was interested in producing me, but he didn't want to use my band. And I said,
he's so loyal to the boys from the old neighborhood.
I know. He wasn't going to cross Liberty.
The Beatles producer. And I met Phil Ramone, who I knew from being an engineer on a lot of other people's recordings. Paul Simon, he had done all kinds of live recordings with other artists. And I met with Phil. He got it immediately. He saw
Phil
us play at Carnegie Hall.
He just gets it. Yeah, I know.
And I love your band. I love what you're doing.
That's what it always is with him. It's just like it's either people either understand him or not.
Because he got
yes. You either get Billy or you don't get Billy. There's dogs and cats, people and
it ended up
people who get Billy and people who don't get Billy.
There was 4 hit singles off of this album, Just the Way You Are, She's Always a Woman, Moving Out, and Only the Good Die Young.
Now, Meg, this album came out September 29th, 1977. Billy was 28 years old. Meg, remind us what else was happening in 1977.
Everybody's mom's favorite album, Rumours, was released, beginning her lifelong and deeply disturbing crush on Mick Fleetwood.
Jimmy Carter was inaugurated as president and promptly pardoned all Vietnam draft dodgers. But he refused to pardon those Brooklyn Dodgers from moving out to Los Angeles. Am I right? Let's go play stickball.
The lights went out for 25 hours in New York City. Strangely, Billy Joel didn't appropriate yet another musical culture to tell a story song about it.
Oh, maybe he did, though. The movie and Bee Gees' record Saturday Night Fever came out, and Billy thought, oh boy, something else for me to appropriate and make even lamer than it already was.
Oh, ouch. 1977 was the year of the Billy breakout.
Perhaps the solidest of years for the Joel.
It was a really great year for the Joel.
Before we move on, Meg, you turned something up, an old New York Times piece by one Chuck Klosterman about the Joel from 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to read a little choice clip from it. Quote, and this is a quote within the, it's a quote within a quote. Okay.
So it goes and then single.
Exactly. That's
marks.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. Klosterman quote, Billy does take things harder than most people, says John Small, a Long Islander who met Joel in 1965, played drums in Joel's first 2 bands, and was briefly married to the woman who would become Joel's first wife.
I mean, could that be more sympathetic to
Billy?
That
is one way of saying what happened.
That is one way of saying it. I mean, was Klosterman working as his PR person at this time?
Yeah.
But that's an epic interview. That's a really good interview.
Klosterman is he's a good writer.
Yeah, he
gets good things out of people. And you know, look, Billy, he just takes things harder than most people.
He does. He's more sensitive.
He's a sensitive boy.
He's an artist.
Ever since he was a little boy,
he's got that gypsy soul.
He has that Romani in his soul. That crazy Romani. Watch yourself.
Whoa. Why do Romanis need to be crazy?
Romanis be crazy. But yeah, Billy, he's just a sensitive boy. He has been since he was a little kid when he had a dog.
He had a dog
and the dog died.
Oh, and he cried?
He cried so much the dog, it ate a whole Cavell ice cream cake.
It was Billy's birthday too.
It was just too much chocolate for a dog.
It was his first story song he wrote about.
When she's walking, she's looking so fiery. And when she's talking, she'll say that she's my eye.
Do we want to taxonomize the leading track off of The Stranger as a story song, or is it another disdain song? We're talking about Moving Out.
This is the first story song, I would say. I don't think it's a disdain song. I think it's in the same vein as Piano Man.
I think it's in the same vein as that god-awful James song you made us listen to, where it's basically another song where, like, Billy is just being like, you know, all you working schmoes, there's no valid way to be happy unless you're a rocker like me. And you guys are just kidding yourselves.
That's not the point of James. Uh-huh.
You ought to know by now.
Boom.
Who needs a house
out in Hackensack?
Is that all you get for your money?
I mean, come on.
So many things to say about this, but I mean, it's just... Heart Attack, Ack, Ack, Ack is such, it's the classic example of Joel as a singer just basically being an actor who's playing it way too broad, you know?
You don't think he's adding a signature little bit of Joel-ness to the song?
Well, you could call it that. His signature, if his signature is chewing the scenery, you know? That's basically what he's doing. Anyway, so this song. Interesting to me how in this record, what really struck me when I was listening back to the whole album was how guitar heavy this record is. Mm. And the piano is often just shunted off to like one side of the stereo spectrum. You can barely hear it. And I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, it's not like Billy to have such a guitar heavy song. It's more the sexy sax or
the sexy sax. That's the only kind.
Or drums or the piano. So that's an interesting point that he does. There is a lot of guitar in the song.
Yeah, in that video we were watching earlier, he does talk about his relationship with his guitar players.
The right guitar. Guitar players are kind of from another planet. The instrument is shaped like a woman. They can sleep with the guitar.
Billy and his women.
They're strange guys. And keyboard players and guitar players normally have some kind of conflict going on. They're louder than the piano.
That's why he doesn't have a guitar.
Keys that are difficult for them. The physics of the instruments are different. This is the band. That's Doug Stegmaier.
So it's interesting to me that, you know, you would think that Joel would win out in that competition because he'd be like, I'm Joel.
Right.
And you're a hired gun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But like this record, maybe it was Phil Ramone's influence. I mean, it's very, very guitar heavy. And I don't know if that was, they were just trying to like make it work for rock radio a little bit more. It certainly did.
Yeah.
You know, mission accomplished.
I wonder if he's threatened by the guitar, if he's threatened by the kind of cool sort of Jimmy Page kind of, you know, guitar player that the women seem to flock to.
Have you ever seen the video for the song on the record, The Bridge, called Matter of Trust?
Yes.
And he's playing a guitar. He's playing this Gibson Les Paul that just makes him look so small. And he's so awkward with it. And he's like, he looks like he's trying to do like a Springsteen thing and he's not pulling it off at all.
Oh, that whole video is just classic.
It is classic. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the bridge. But
all right.
Also just what we just listened to. I mean, he also has a woman thing with the guitar too.
He does. And if you read that Chuck Klosterman interview, listeners, you'll find out there's a lot of darkness to Billy. You kind of hear.
Yes, he hates women. We know that.
He doesn't hate women. He's codependent on women. Mm. He gets his value as a person from women finding him attractive or wanting to be with him. And I think that's the driving force to a lot of his songs is his, codependency.
Would you put The Stranger in that category, the song that we'll listen to now?
Yeah, I would.
So, like Angry Young Man, The Stranger, the song The Stranger, is yet another really, really nice instrumental prelude that is unfortunately attached to a song that is garbage.
No, it isn't. It's not garbage. It's good.
It's just like, gotta have a disco record. It's 1977. We gotta have a disco record.
I actually cringed in embarrassment when I heard the whistling.
Why?
It just seemed too film noir and just too obvious, but...
He's a good whistler.
He's an excellent whistler.
He's a good whistler. I want to remind listeners that if they go to urbandictionary.com and look up The Stranger, that the rest of this segment will be a lot funnier.
Or horrifying, depending.
Or horrifying.
I mean, put on your dancing shoes.
We all have a face that we hide
that
away.
That poppy bass. Bum, bum, bum. Yes, Degmeyer.
Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk, and some are leather.
They're
the
leather.
Faces of a stranger, but we'd love to try them on.
Yeah, this album is being made at a time when the like dual lead guitars in harmony thing is like very, very popular. Mm. Thin Lizzy has popularized that. Skinnerd has popularized that.
Skinnerd!
And this is just yet another thing for Billy to steal. You know, just like, hey, what's in the zeitgeist? You know?
It makes him relevant.
It makes him relevant. He's a very relevant boy.
He's so relevant.
Okay. The other musical thing I wanted to say about this song is that it has this chord in it, this, I guess you'd call it like a diminished dominant chord, that I call the O chord. And if you need a reminder on what O is, here's this classic Saturday Night Live sketch featuring Jon Bon Jovi.
Welcome to O! Game show by guys from New Jersey, four guys from New Jersey. Guys, how you doing?
Hey, good.
You know how the game works. I read you a scenario. At some point, the details of said scenario will get distressing or shocking. First one to say, oh, and explain why, gets the points. Your wife's making your grandmother's recipe for baked ziti. She spreads a layer of cooked ziti in a casserole dish. She realizes she's out of ragout. So she reaches for a block of Velveeta.
Oh!
Frank, you up first. Go!
All right, so that's O, right? Okay. Now, listen back to The Stranger and see if you can spot the O chord.
Once I used to believe I was such a great romancer that I came home to a woman that I could not recognize when I pressed
exactly.
Yep. All yep. Reason.
Or if I can put an even finer point on it.
I could not recognize.
That's basically what I did in the airport the other day.
Oh wow, somebody came prepared.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And the thing is, that's like that chord is used exactly that way in a lot of 70s music. It's just like the like, oh, you did not just say that chord. The bam. Ugh.
You should never argue with the crazy man. You ought to know by now. You can pay Uncle Sam with the overalls. Is that all you get for your honey?
We want to acknowledge our first sponsor on the program today, the Amy Fisher House Museum in Massapequa, Long Island. Remember that whole Joey Buttafuoco thing where Amy shot Joey's wife in the head? We've turned Amy's house into a museum.
The crazy thing is, I went to go, I had some family in town,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to show them the highlights, the cultural highlights of Long Island.
Sure.
So, of course, I went to the Amy Fisher House Museum.
Well, yeah.
And the crazy thing is that Amy Fisher still lives there. You will see, she doesn't have any place to live. I mean, she shot a lady in the head,
yeah,
like 20 years ago,
uh-huh.
and she can't get a job now,
because yeah.
I think she did some prison time.
She got a record.
So you'll just be looking through her stuff, because that really put, you know, between she and Billy, you know, really Long Island on the map. And then, you know, you'll just see her getting some milk and some cookies. just real odd. Real odd, but really nice.
Real nice. She's a good girl.
I've known her since the First Communion.
And she's got a lovely dog.
Oh, such a great dog.
That dog, I mean, well, it'll sniff at you.
It will.
It will sniff at you. You got to let it sniff at you.
You got
to. Because, you know, if you don't let it sniff at you, it's going to think that you're hostile.
It's going to bark at you.
It's going to bark.
It's not going to be great. It's going to scare the kids.
So we want to thank the Amy Fisher House Museum. We want to encourage listeners, if they go, you know, you go in and there's that like plexiglass box where to put in the suggested donation.
Mm-hmm.
Amy just really needs those shekels right now.
Amy
so,
lives off that money.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the night, she turns that thing upside down and just shakes it real hard.
Real hard. Because she's got to get her highlights done. She's got to get her highlights done. She's got to get her tips done. You know, it costs a lot of money to be Amy Fisher.
Now I drive my down Easter Alexa.
Meg, we've reached the ballad portion of the program.
We have.
Some two
Hold on
classic.
To your hearts, ladies. Hold on to your hearts.
Two classic ballads on The Stranger. There's She's Always a Woman, which I actually think is a kind of a lovely song, and we'll talk about it. And then there's Just the Way You Are.
Oh, this is the only song of Billy's I actively don't like.
How do you actively not like something?
Like, I will, if I hear this song, I'll leave a room. I will change the channel. I just pretend Billy didn't write this song.
Well, you know, he feels similarly. There's an interview with him in this.
I knew Billy and I were together on this crappy, crappy, awful song.
Here he is. This is from a video that was like a 30th anniversary package for the Stranger.
We're getting so much use out of this.
I love you. That's forever. This I promise from the heart.
There was no girl in the band. It was just all guys. And we're listening back going, I don't know, do you like it? I don't know, it's a chick song. Mm. You know, none of us were all that hot to put it on the album. I
love you. You know, chicks, they like the shittiest music, the chicks.
Phoebe Snow came by with Linda Ronstadt. And they said, you're crazy. You've got to put that song on the album. I said, yeah. Well, these girls like the song. I guess we should put it on the album.
Because a girl always really likes a backhanded compliment.
Mm-hmm.
She's super into that.
Yeah. So,
I mean, just musically, it sounds like a wedding band. Lyrically, it sounds like a backward, you know, backhanded compliment. Rolling Stone accused him of this song of being sarcastic. That saying,
Billy? No.
Yeah. And it just, it's the worst. He's saying that, you know, you're not that smart. You're not that pretty. You're not that interesting. But don't leave me.
So are we going to taxonomize this as a disdain song or as a codependency song?
I'm going to say it's codependent. He is going to knock her down so she doesn't leave.
Don't change the color of your hair.
Because he's the boss of her hair.
Yeah. You so you hear that, like, kind of choral drone over the top?
Yeah,
just the same chord real loud in the mix.
I
that was really what struck me when I went back and listened to this, was like, that part is so damn loud through the whole damn track. Like, listen.
Yeah.
Never want to work that hard.
He's just holding a chord.
Yeah.
I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you are.
Sax.
Sexy sax.
Well, speaking of sexy sax and things that actually are sexy, have you ever heard the Barry White version of this song?
No.
Yeah, Barry White had a hit with this song like a few years later, and this is actually kind of good, I think.
Shake that, trying to please me. You never let me down before.
Better?
Yeah, better.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You're too familiar.
Walrus of Love.
And I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble.
He just sounds, it sounds realer. It sounds more grounded. It sounds, I think this is what the sound that Billy was probably going to go for.
Yeah, it's, what do you call it when a white artist appropriates like a black singing style and then a black singer takes it back? Is that like de-appropriation or reappropriation? Yeah. You just go
bear
ahead.
Bear appropriation?
Bear appropriation. Put him.
Don't change the color of your hair.
See, you'd be like, oh, Barry. I'm not so angry anymore about this shitty song.
Now, in marked contrast, we have She's Always a Woman.
She can kill with a smile, she can wound with her eyes, and she can ruin your faith with her casual lies. And she only reveals what she wants you to see. She hides like a child, but she's always a woman to me.
And again, it's kind of offensive. It's another disdain song.
Right.
Okay.
God. She seems to have some sort of borderline personality disorder.
Exactly. That's right. I don't understand why Billy Joel, he's like one of these people, like, you know, he thinks he gets screwed over in every single relationship that he has, and it doesn't occur to him, like, what's the common denominator in all these situations?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, it's your ass.
Yep.
Okay. But God, I think this is a really pretty song. Listen
it
to this
is
part.
Very pretty. She takes care
of herself. I love the harmony with the flute.
She can wait if she wants. She's ahead of her time.
And then this chord. That's gold.
Oh, and she never gives out. And she never gives in.
She's such a huge bee.
What if you did like a metal version of the song? I think this kind of woman that he's writing about would lend herself far better to like a death metal song.
Yeah, well, not like a death metal. It's kind of like, because like Ronnie James Dio wrote a million songs like this that were like, evil woman, look out! You know? So Dio should have done this song, but Dio's dead, so R.I.P. Dio.
Aw. He never had his chance of working with Billy.
Baby, I'll be sorry when you're gone. I'll take my chances. I forgot how nice romance is. I haven't been there for the longest time.
We want to thank our second sponsor today, Suffolk County Harley Davidson in Oakdale, Long Island. Suffolk County Harley Davidson, because you're a sad, old boomer, and all you have left is money.
Yeah, nothing says I have so little personality that I don't even know from what I derive pleasure, like buying a motorcycle, right? That's just what you do if you're just trying to perform enjoyment for other people, because you really have no capacity for it yourself.
Right, you're joyless. You spent all of your emotional currency at the office.
Yeah, basically you're James.
Yeah. Oh, James! James would ride a Harley, wouldn't he?
He would. He'd take it out on the LIE, and he'd enjoy getting stuck in traffic. Like, he'd go at times, like, he'd go at, like, 5 o'clock.
Just hope everyone could see him.
Well, he'd drive west, and then he'd get on the LIE to ride it kind of back with the outgoing commuters at 5 o'clock, so he'd get stuck in traffic, just so that everybody could see him on his Harley.
I have a feeling he hates the Harley, but people are worried about him, like his friend Billy, that he's not enjoying his life, he's not doing anything for himself, when really all he wants to do is watch baseball. But he's got to buy this expensive Harley and get stuck in traffic so people know he's not miserable, but really it just makes him miserable.
Yeah,
he's a complicated man.
Yes. So thanks, Suffolk County Harley Davidson in Oakdale. We appreciate your support of the program.
You're aces. So this song coming up is my favorite Billy song. Well,
wow.
No, I mean, it's at least top five. It's the pinnacle of story songness. Brenda and Eddie.
Brenda and Eddie.
Yeah, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
It's sort of Joel's Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Yeah.
Because it's this multi-section kind of epic thingamajig.
It was a couple of different songs I think he mushed together.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I think. I think he did that. I'm pretty sure.
A bottle of white. A bottle of red. Perhaps a bottle of rosé.
Order 20 bottles of the rosé.
Get a table near the stream. In our old familiar place. You and I face to face.
Do we think the accordion is cheesy, or is it intentional cheese? He's being kind of cheeky.
I think he's being a little cheeky here.
Okay.
It all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
It does kind of have a Lady and the Tramp feel to it. It's a great song, though.
Sax interlude.
Sax.
When you need to get from one song you couldn't finish to another song you couldn't finish, sax interlude.
I'm going to do that in my emails if I need to like transition between one idea and another.
Yeah.
Sax interlude.
Get to rockin', Billy. Come on. Oh, yeah. Now we're going to start rockin'. Boom, boom, boom. Hey!
Things are okay with me these days. Got a good job. I got a good office. I got a new wife. Got a new life. And the family is fine.
Yeah.
Oh, lost touch long ago. You lost weight. I did not know.
You never looked so good. I had so much time.
Engineer boots, leather jackets, tight blue jeans.
Okay. I think it's a time for us to remember what Billy Joel actually did dress like and look like in high school. Should we go back and look at the picture of him in the Hassles when he's got the single leather pant?
He does. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
When he's having these romantic memories of his youth, you know, being the sexy guy in his tight blue jeans.
Yep. If one of the blue jean legs were leather. Just one of them.
Just one of them.
And he had like
this chocolate all over his face, remember?
Chocolate all over his face. Why is he so much darker than everyone else? He spent his summer at Jones Beach.
I don't know what to think about that. But I guess it's not necessarily autobiographical, right?
Well, the thing about Billy is that he loves nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
He loves it. And I think he'll make up a lie for himself to believe and celebrate, and then everyone's like, okay, that sounds way better than the truth.
There's a line in this song that my father likes. Let me try to find it. They decided the marriage would be at the end of July. Everyone said they were crazy. Brenda, you know that you're much too lazy. And Eddie could crazy and lazy. Great rhyme.
Great rhyme.
Yeah. It's like girl and world.
That Brenda, she's so lazy. Ugh.
So yeah, my father used to tell me that he remembers those paintings from Sears.
Yeah?
Because he is, my dad is from Hicksville, Long Island.
I'm so jealous of your dad.
He went to Hicksville High School, I think, while Billy was there. I don't know if they knew each other. But shall we go ahead and give Papa Rags a call?
Yay!
Yeah,
Papa Rags, Long Island native.
Time to get him on the program. Daddy there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're just doing lovely. Meg, say hi to Dr. Ragusa.
Hi, Dr. Ragusa.
Hi, Meg.
When were you in Hicksville High School? Were you in the same class as one William Joel?
No, I was not. Billy Joel was younger than I was by about 2 or 3 years. I graduated from Hicksville High School in 1965, and he never graduated. He was one half credit short and dropped out.
Yeah, he was a loser, not like you.
No.
You were a winner. A winner.
Yep.
Well, at the time, I was more famous than he was because I'd done some TV, and I was known for being successful a little bit in theater, and he was just up and coming, but God knows he was a monstrous talent and took off. A lot of talent came out of that high school. We had another band from Hicksville High School called the Brooklyn Bridge that was on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Wow.
Right around that same time.
All right, let's have a fine hand for them. Welcome. Oh.
I heard you're getting married. Heard you're getting married. This time you're...
There was just lots of talented people in that school.
What was it like to grow up in Long Island?
Well, it depends on where you were in Long Island. Hicksville, if you can think about Hicksville, it's a little town that was founded by Elijah and Valentine Hicks in 1836.
Sure it was.
It was.
Duh, and, everybody knows that.
And the railroad that comes out onto Long Island from New York forks in Hicksville. So Hicksville was an important destination for both people and freight. It was a working class town. People moved out there from the Bronx and Brooklyn and places like that in order to raise their kids in a place where the air was clean and people weren't getting stabbed in the streets.
Did you know of a place called Village Green?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
yeah, I know all those places.
Yeah, we were just listening to scenes from an Italian restaurant, there are things in there that you actually remember?
Oh, yeah, all of them. I know all the places that Billy Joel writes about in his songs.
The story
Village
songs.
Green, story sort songs. Of the southern part of Hicksville, bordered on Levittown. And a lot of people have heard about Levittown, a very large suburban development. And right at the edge there, they had built sort of a simulated suburban Village Green, like what you might experience in New England.
Oh, wow.
And what it really was just a large grassy area with a little park for the kids and a few stores. And and you know, teenagers being what they are, they gravitated there and hung around behind the stores and smoked whatever they were going to smoke and drank whatever they're going to drink and made out with one another and caused as much trouble as they could before the police got there. So, and that was the Village Green. And then he's also in that song, he sings about the Parkway Diner, and that's on Broadway. The Northern State Parkway and Long Island Expressway go just to the north of Hicksville, and then Broadway is the big street that goes through Hicksville. And the Parkway Diner was in between the center of Hicksville and Northern State Parkway. I used to go there to get flank steak sandwiches. They were really good. We'd go there like 1 o'clock in the morning after we'd been out carousing all night.
Billy seems to indicate in his songs that he recalls himself as being a bit of a neighborhood tough. Information that is really contradicted by the contemporaneous photographs in which he seems to look a little bit more like Austin Powers. Were you a neighborhood tough, or do you at least remember yourself an idealized version as a neighborhood tough?
Well, I would have looked like Austin Powers too, I suppose. nobody looked all that bad back then, you have to remember. But I was carrying a knife from the time I was 11. I got into, in my sixth grade class, I got into a fight with a knife and a chain, and cops had to come and break up the fight and stuff like that.
And people moved to Long Island for a safer environment for their kids? That's crazy.
Yeah, but everybody who was there came out of these tough neighborhoods. So I used to go back to the Bronx every week. So, we'd teach one another how to fight to survive, because that's what you had to do. If you didn't hit back, then you got beaten up. So was Billy Joel something of a tough guy? And my understanding of his life was that he wasn't a tough guy, but he hung around with a bunch of people that would have been perceived as tough guys. Some of the time, and we all did that. I mean, I hung around with a guy who was eventually for a soldier who gets paid to fight.
A mercenary?
Yeah. Couldn't think of the right word. He was a mercenary in Africa, you know? And I used to hang around with him when I was a teenager. Next time I saw him in my 20s, he had no teeth and he had scars all over his body and stuff like that. So it was in some sense a gentrified area, and in another sense it was full of people who knew how to fight and had to be tough in order to survive in that environment. We were nothing like the kids who were actually in New York, in the city. One time I got into a fight with a Puerto Rican kid who...
You're a jet all the way, right?
Right.
Exactly, that's true. When I was an actor, I played Bernardo in West Side Story, by the way. But this guy shoved a stainless steel rat tail comb into my wrist.
Wow. Hicksville is no joke.
I mean, he and I were just sort of playing around fighting, and it got real serious real quick. And I just wasn't at that level of toughness. I mean, he could have cut my throat in 30 seconds. So we grew up in that kind of an environment. And yet what Hicksville was when we first moved there, when I moved there, Hicksville was a farm community. Behind my house, as far as you could see, there were nothing but cabbage and potato farms. And that's what the town was like. You could still buy on Broadway in Hicksville. There was a meat store called Trun's Meats, T-R-U-N-Z. And when you went down there, you could still buy live chickens and live pigs.
Wow.
And they would slaughter them for you there and give you your meat.
That may explain the cover of the Attila album where Billy and Johnny Small, they're surrounded by meat.
They are.
They're just down at the Broadway. They're the Tons Market on Broadway.
They are.
It's not gothic or anything like that. It's not weird.
It's a cross the screen.
Just getting a chicken from Mama.
I'm guessing that's a stretch.
You know, you used to say, Dad, that you remembered the paintings from Sears that Brenda and Eddie bought.
Oh, sure. Sears was built on a large vacant area of land next to what used to be the Coca-Cola bottling plant. It was actually swampy land, and my friends and I used to go down there to play army when we were kids. You know, we'd shoot one another and stuff.
Violence.
I know.
And then they built the Sears there. So it's right on Broadway. And I remember all the paintings hanging there, you know. And I'm sure Brenda and Eddie would have bought some of the finest paintings that Sears had to offer.
Yeah, so what is that? I mean, what is that meant to signify in that song? Was like the Sears sort of the IKEA of its day? It's where you went to get like a prefabricated adulthood?
Yes. there's your answer. That's right. That's a better way to say it. And that's where people like Eddie went to buy stuff, and there were no IKEAs, there were Sears.
We're keeping a running tab of all the Joel albums from best to worst. It's called the Joel Power Rankings. What would you put at number one on the Joel Power Rankings? What's the album that does it for you?
Yes, I'm guessing The Stranger.
Was that reminding you?
I think we had some family feud going on there.
What? Which one do you like?
I don't really like any of them. That's why that's my function on the show is to not like any of these. Meg is the one who actually likes this dreck.
Well, we have Piano Man as number one.
No, we don't.
Yes,
you didn't update this from last week.
I thought you were in charge of updating it.
Okay. don't give me your shit, Brenda.
Listen, Eddie, back off.
All knew it was going to be over by the summer of 75 anyway.
That's
so
right.
You guys are history. But there, you know, I mean, it's just all these references in Billy Joel songs about Hicksville. I can tell you right where Mrs. Cacciatore's on Sullivan Street was. It was on the corner of Sullivan Street and Broadway. It was an Italian sub shop.
Well, we didn't even change the name. It's actually Mrs. Cacciatore's?
No, it wasn't called Mrs. Cacciatore's or Mr. Cacciatore's. It was just sub shop. But it was that's the one he's talking about. He talks about Mr. Cacciatore's up on Sullivan Street across from the medical center, and that was a place in Hicksville. There was the professional building where the medical center was on Sullivan Street, and across the street was this Italian sub shop that you went for meatball heroes as you were walking home from school after detention.
You got back to the old neighborhood quite a lot while your mother was still alive. I don't know when the last time is that you were in Hicksville, but how does contemporary Long Island compare to how it was when you and Joel were just neighborhood street toughs?
Well, let's not push it to toughs. that's pushing it a little bit too far. At least survivors in a tough place. And the answer is that, or my answer is at least, that when we first were living there, there was a sense of villages You know, there was the village of Hicksville, and there was the village of Westbury, and there was the village of Oyster Bay, and there were these towns, and there was a sense of individual culture about each of them. But now, when you go, I mean, the last time I was there was maybe 10 years ago, I'm guessing, but now what it is all part of the megalopolis, you know? It's everything is the same thing from Maryland all the way up to Maine. And it's all one big street mall, you know?
Yeah.
And one big suburban strip. In that sense, that's how it's different. My impression is that it is certainly a whole lot less tough. There are lots of places in New York that have become more civilized, if you will. I mean, I was just in the Bronx a few years ago, and which is where I originally came from. And the Bronx is really very safe to walk in now. I mean, you just don't, there's no sense that you're going to get shot or stabbed at any moment. People from all different countries have sort of learned to get along with one another a whole lot better. So things have gotten better in that area in New York. The same population lives on Long Island, and that's mostly working class folks who, to a large extent, either work in New York or serve people who work in New York in the city. And, you know, on Long Island, nobody calls it Manhattan. It's called the city. And that's who still lives there. It's plumbers and carpenters and masons and people like that who live in the suburban developments all through Long Island, except for those enclaves of incredible wealth. And there are places that are just incredibly wealthy. Homes that sell for $5, $10, $25 million or more.
Yeah, you didn't get out to the Hamptons a lot when you were a street tough.
And the answer is no, I did not.
Yeah, but Billy's there now.
He is.
You go visit him.
Old Hicksville High reunion.
I didn't know he lived in the Hamptons now.
I just assume
he does.
That just seems like the kind of thing he would do, right? That's the kind of
he would never leave Long Island.
Yeah.
He's a
I
Long
think
Island
he lives
boy.
On Center Island, actually.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That's, well, you know, you both have boats now. You could talk about your boats.
We could, and we could go sailing along and try and maybe kidnap some fishermen who could actually teach us how to run the damn boats. You know.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time now. We appreciate the call, Dad. You have yourself a lovely day out on the water, okay?
Bye, Dr. Agusia. Thank you.
Good to meet you, Meg. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Your dad's great.
Yeah, that was fun. Little rock, paddle, knock, make it metal, gather up, spun it, show it live, it's on the river, pop, feather, knock, start to go, California baseball, start with her, hold her, start building up a little mind. Shall we resume listening to The Stranger?
Yes, please.
What song would we like to listen to next?
Let's listen to Only the Good Die Young.
Only the Good Die Young. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they show you. I have to admit, this is a great song.
It's a good
this
song.
This is a really nearly perfect song. I love, by the way, Dougie Stegmaier's bass, walking bass line in this is so well done. Everything in this is good. It's just a solid song, I have to admit it.
It is. It's influenced by music from the 50s, but it's not appropriating. It's its own thing.
So there's a famous story about like how the kind of shuffle arrangement of this song came about. And here, I'll let Billy tell it himself.
Okay.
Okay, I'll show you how I started writing Only the Good Die Young. I wrote it as a reggae song. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait.
Wow.
You were saying about appropriation?
Sooner or later,
come down the fit. Might as well be the one.
Lots of talent, no taste.
Oh, Billy. Sometimes he's like your drunk uncle who just says shit and you're like, why? Why, Uncle Billy? Why? How have you not gotten the crap kicked out of you by now?
Why, Judy? Why?
Why, Judy? Why?
So I bring this into the studio and Liberty.
Thank God, Liberty.
Liberty 2 and 4.
He's so sick of reggae. He takes his drumsticks and literally throws his drumsticks at me. He goes, "Frickin' hate reggae."
I don't think Liberty would ever say frickin'. He's a real man.
Been to Jamaica is when you change trains in Queens.
Butter.
Oh, keep it real. Butter. Liberty.
So I said, "Well, what's your solution?" And he goes, "You might have heard I run with a dangerous crowd. We ain't too pretty, we ain't too proud. We might be loud."
So another example of Liberty DeVito essentially being the taste that Billy Joel lacks.
He's this Jiminy Cricket.
It happens all the time. It's really, Liberty is really Joel's secret weapon. And so of course you know that Joel gave Liberty DeVito songwriting credit on that song so that he could enjoy the fruits of his labors, right?
I'm afraid to ask.
No.
Oh,
so like,
Billy.
Yeah, Liberty and Joel have been estranged for years, and
really?
Liberty is totally broke. And if you go, I read this long piece that Liberty wrote a few years ago about this, and he basically said that like he was totally broke. He came to Joel and said, "Hey, listen, I've been divorced. My wife got everything. If there's any other work that can come my way, let me know." And apparently, like, they haven't spoken since. Joel was so offended by that. Or at least this is according to Liberty's telling. And Liberty, this is not the only song like this. Like, the dude apparently contributed, enormously to a lot of arrangements. And yeah, got no money out of it.
That's very sad. But also, I wonder if that didn't contribute to Billy's complete stoppage of work. He didn't trust himself enough without Liberty that he just couldn't create anything new.
Well, he sure was right about that.
Yeah.
Next phase, new wave, dance craze, anyway, still rock and roll. All right, people!
All right, let's move on to, like, the eighth hit song off of this record.
So the thing about this record that struck me is that there are several, carpe diem songs, the whole "Gather ye rosebuds while ye may," and "Vienna" is one of them. And it's to the effect of "Don't work so hard, Vienna's waiting for you." And I couldn't wrap my brain around why he chose Vienna as this sort of, pinnacle of beauty and
life. Yeah, you don't
life.
Think about Vienna like that.
You really don't.
I mean, couldn't be Paris.
It couldn't have been Paris. It couldn't
have been
Rome.
Yeah, it couldn't have been even Bohemia,
Right.
It could have been Prague.
It could have been Moscow. I'd been like, oh, wow, okay. But Vienna? The only thing I know about Vienna is that's where the singing children ran away from.
Yeah. And the chocolate.
And the chocolate.
They got good chocolate there.
They got good chocolate there.
Right. But Billy's dog, he ate all the chocolate.
He did.
And he died. And Billy's just been so sensitive ever since.
He's been so sensitive.
Yeah.
Kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you?
I mean, that's sort of like the Indianapolis of Europe. Why would you choose Vienna?
Jesus.
Why would you choose Vienna?
So there really is only one deep cut on this album, like a song that is people don't know and is pretty freaking terrible.
Yeah.
And it's the last song called Everybody Has a Dream.
Yep.
And it's a really boring song.
It is.
Yeah, I'm a soul singer.
I mean, it belongs on Street Life Serenades. It's so boring. It just slid again right off my brain.
I know that everybody has a dream.
I think he was trying to have like a Hey Jude moment, like a chorus that everyone would sing along to.
Right, yeah.
And would stand up to being played over and over and over and over again.
Like an
it
anthem?
Really does not.
It doesn't.
Like, that's all there is to this song.
Yeah.
And it goes on for another like 17 minutes.
Doesn't he whistle for like 5 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
In this song?
Yeah. Yeah, not a strong end.
It's
to,
not a strong end.
What is really, I have to admit, an incredibly strong record.
Yay. Everybody played lottery. Adam likes Billy Joel now.
Get nice, man!
dress and the party of your confirmation. Oh, you got a brand new soul. Ooh, and a cross of gold. But Virginia, they didn't have enough information.
Time now to update our Joel Power Rankings.
Power Rankings. Power Rankings.
And this is going to be pretty easy, right?
Yeah.
Stranger goes in at number
Stranger's
one.
Stranger's number one.
Turnstiles is number two. Yep. Piano Man. Atira! Cold Stone Creamery, The Hassles, Hour of the Wolf, and Street Life Serenade.
Which is still the worst album. There hasn't been anything as bad that we've listened to that is as bad as Street Life Serenade.
Why do you like the Atira record? Do you actually like the Atira record?
I actually do like the Atira record.
Because?
I think that he was trying something new. He was trying, you know, to innovate.
Meg is grading on effort.
I am.
What do we have coming up next week?
We've got 52nd Street. And
why did I say next week? This is not a weekly podcast.
Next time the person hits play on their iPod.
Mm.
Do people still have iPods?
No.
Okay, right. 52nd
Street. Maybe they will by the time they hear this. Maybe, you know, Miami 2017 will have happened.
Right.
And
we're in
people...
a post-apocalyptic. Everybody just has iPods now.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they've been reduced to, is an iPod.
So on 52nd Street, we've got one of my favorite songs, top five, Big Shot.
Big Shot.
Big Shot.
Big Shot.
You and your Halston dress. Also,
another good Disdain song.
Yeah. He's got a very complicated relationship with ladies.
Mm.
So complicated.
He's a sensitive boy.
Sensitive guy. Ever since his dog died. So tonight, I don't know. You might be listening in the morning.
Could be.
Whatever.
It's
whatever
tonight
time,
somewhere.
It's tonight somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to check on that, and yes, you're right. It is would be some tonight somewhere. Anyway.
You had to think about that?
I had to think about that for a second.
That sounds like a line that Billy would use in one of
somewhere,
his, like...
Somewhere, baby, take
yeah,
off
exactly.
your panties.
That's
Oh, your dad's going to listen to this and think I'm trash.
You are trash. You are trash. You're garbage. You're a trashy lady, all right?
You're from Jones Beach. Why you got to put on airs? So Billy's words of wisdom are from The Stranger.
Mm.
You may never understand how The Stranger is inspired, but he isn't always evil, and he's not always wrong. Embrace the dark side.
And go to urbandictionary.com.
Oh.
Search The Stranger.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening to We Didn't Start the Podcast. I'm Adam Ragusea. I don't really like Billy Joel.
I'm Meg Donahue, and I really do.
So do you think we're awesome? We suck? Do you think that we're missing the entire point of Joel? Is Joel just going straight over our heads? Let us know on Twitter. Use the hashtag JoelHole. I'm at A Ragusea on the Twitters.
I'm at Donahue Meg on the interwebs and also the Twitters. I don't know why I did that.
Because you're funny. You're a comedic genius.
Yeah, right. This podcast is just a hobby project created by us in our spare time. We're not using it to make any money. I don't think we'd make any if we even tried.
Mm.
The opinions expressed are our own, and they are expressed badly.
Mm. Speak for yourself, Brenda.
Listen here, Eddie.
Jesus.
I'm going to take this painting from Sneers. I'm going to smash it over your head.
Some of the sponsors that we mention in our show are, in fact, real, you know, entities in largely in the tri-state area, but they have no actual association with us, nor would they want it.
No, nor would they want it. It is a joke. Da, da, boom, da, la, 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 boom. Boom, boom, ching, ching, bang, bang, what's up?